Well, it is good to be with all of you, even though I am the only man in the room. I was asking Naomi, what should I do to break the ice? And I don't think there really is anything to do, so it just is what it is, right? So that's okay. It's good to be with all of you. I was asking a question of the small group leaders on Saturday of who picked the book of John to study, because I think it's a great book for anyone to study, but it's really important that we do pick up the Gospels. Because in a very real sense, we need to take a fresh look at Jesus. We need to open up the scriptures and stare at who Jesus is. We need to marinate our souls in what the Bible says about him and how the Bible portrays him. And there's one reason why I have that in mind. There are a variety of reasons we could talk about this morning, but there's one particular reason why I think opening up the book of John and just staring at who Jesus is extremely important for us as Christians. And the reason is this, because there are false portraits of Jesus in our pop culture that need to be corrected. All around us, we have these false portraits of who Jesus is. So I'm going to just give you a couple illustrations. One of them is in our artwork. And some of you here may be very inclined towards art, and that's great. But if you look at various artwork that depicts Jesus, he's often depicted as a limp-wristed man without an Adam's apple. And in a very real sense, Jesus has been feminized. We've lost sight of his humanity. So pardon my expression, but Jesus was a dude. And he wasn't just any dude, he was a carpenter dude. And so maybe he had rough hands, and maybe he had a big barrel chest. I'm not sure exactly how he looked, but he was a carpenter before the time of power tools. And much of our artwork displays him as a limp-wristed man. We've lost some kind of his humanity, displaying him in a physically weak way. Other ways that show up in our pop culture. Jesus appears on The Simpsons and on South Park as a figure that we can just kind of laugh at. Jesus shows up on our articles of clothing. Jesus is my homeboy. And other articles of clothing that display Jesus in a certain way that our culture just buys into. There are probably around 100 films that have been made about the life of Jesus. Everything from The Da Vinci Code to The Passion of the Christ. So he shows up in our pop films as well. Also in music, it seems that everyone is singing about Jesus. From Carrie Underwood to U2, everyone is singing about Jesus. He makes our appearances in sporting events. You see, I don't think it's that we don't have enough Jesus in our culture. I think sometimes we have false portraits of Jesus in pop culture that need to be corrected. We have a skewed perspective of him that is often shaped more by outside sources rather than the scriptures themselves. Much of how we view him is shaped by other things in the Bible. And I know I personally want my view of Jesus to be shaped by scripture. Because if I don't look and I don't stare at what the Bible says about who he is, there's all these other influences out there that will shape it somehow. And so I, and therefore I assuming you as well, need to have our understanding of Jesus shaped by the Bible. So that's why the book of John. It's important for us to open up the scriptures and look at who Jesus is. John is a great book. It is a very well-crafted story that has a very specific purpose in mind. It's not often that the writers of the Bible tell us exactly why they wrote their book, but thankfully John has. He told us exactly why he wrote what he did. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open up to John chapter 20. We're going to look at two verses this morning. John chapter 20, we'll look at verses 30 and 31. These two verses will help us get started in correcting the views in pop culture about who Jesus is. So there's three things I want to touch on here. Let's read John chapter 20, 30 through 31. I'll read the verses for us. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Three things I want us to touch on this morning from these verses here. First of all, in verse 30, we see what Jesus did. If you look at verse 30, John tells us Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples. The book of John is kind of characterized by these miraculous signs that Jesus did. And they're kind of the high points throughout the whole book. But it also says there that Jesus did many other signs. The last book in the book of John tells us that there were many other things that John could have written down, but he wrote these particular things for a particular purpose. We see there, though, that he tells us that Jesus did many other signs. And it's an important word for us to understand. Because all the miracles that Jesus does throughout the book of John are not just miracles, but they are miraculous signs. They're recorded for us in this book here that John says, I recorded these things for you, these miraculous signs, because all of them point to a deeper spiritual truth about who Jesus is. When Jesus does these miraculous signs, he's not like Harry Houdini. He's not like David Copperfield. He's not an illusionist in that sense. Jesus does not perform magic tricks. All of these are miracles that he performs, which means that for a certain period of time, Jesus suspended natural laws and works outside of what is normal. The reason why he does that, though, is because he wants those miraculous signs to be pointing to something deeper about him. All of them that happen are like road signs. We know the road signs that we see in the road are pointing us to our ultimate destination. All of these miraculous signs are pointing to a deeper spiritual reality about who Jesus is. And so the thing you have to wrestle with, and the vital question is, what do those miraculous signs direct us to about Jesus? And why these things and not other things? Why did John decide that these were the important things for him to record? What is the deeper spiritual reality that these things reveal? So first, we know what Jesus did. He did miraculous signs. Secondly, then, who is Jesus? Look at verse 31. There's two things there in verse 31 we should take notice of. The first is that these miraculous signs are written so that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ. That's the first thing. Who is Jesus? He is the Christ. Now we know that Christ is not Jesus' last name. The word Christ refers to who Jesus is. It's his title. Much like President Barack Obama, president is his title. It represents who he plays in society. Christ is Jesus' official title for the role that he plays. It represents who he actually is. In the Bible, Christ and Messiah are often used to mean the same thing. So when we say that Jesus is the Christ, we're also saying that he is the Messiah. The Messiah refers to someone who is anointed by God and who would come and save the people. Jewish people during the time in the Bible were longingly expecting the Messiah to come. They were looking for him, waiting for him to come. And Jesus then arrives on the scene and says, I am that long-expected Messiah. Some believed that he was, and some did not. Some of them rejected the idea that Jesus was the Christ, while others believed. We see that in John chapter 1. He tells us that. So the first thing we need to understand about who Jesus is, he is the Christ. Second thing we see in John 20:31. That was where God uniquely revealed himself to the people. All of that changed when Jesus arrives on the scene. We know from John 1:14 that this is what he says. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus, then, is the new temple. He is the place where God uniquely reveals himself to humanity. No longer in a physical temple, but Jesus himself in his body manifests God's presence to the people. And so when John says that he is, so today, we need to be convinced of those truths about Jesus. He's the Son of God. He is the Christ. And that convincing is not man-made. Those things are true about Jesus. He is our one and only Savior, and he is God in human flesh. And that, when we become convinced of those things, contradicts often what our culture says about who Jesus is. So first thing then, what Jesus did. Secondly, who Jesus is, really. Third thing we want to take notice of in verse 31. He says there, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. And then move your eyes down to the end of the verse. And that by believing you may have life in his name. So the third thing, what does Jesus want us to do? He wants us to believe. That's what he wants us to do. That word believe shows up twice there in verse 31. And in fact, as you study the book of John this year, I want you to somehow take note throughout the whole book, whether you underline in your Bible, circle, highlight, whatever you want to do, how often the word believe shows up in the book of John. It literally is everywhere throughout the whole entire book. It shows up. This well-crafted story that John put together is not just to gain head knowledge about Jesus, learn a bunch of neat stories about who Jesus is, what he did. Those stories and those miraculous signs are leading to somewhere. It's leading to belief in Jesus as the Christ and as the Son of God. Everything that John wrote was leading towards that. And so as you take note of even all the miracles that Jesus does, the result of all of those is either some people believed or some people rejected him. That's what this whole book is driving. And I'm sure in this room, with this number of women that are here, as you study John, you will be confronted with the Jesus of the Bible, which will contradict sometimes your formed view of him right now today. And you're going to need to decide if what you believe about Jesus is this Jesus. Not the Jesus that's formed by maybe your own ideas or formed in culture, but do you believe what the Bible says about Jesus is what you believe? For those of you that are familiar with the book of John, or the other Gospels, I want to challenge you to slow down and take a fresh look at who Jesus is. Even though some of the stories are going to be familiar, do the hard work. Don't just skip over the things that you think, I know what this is all about. Slow down and do the hard work of digging into the Scriptures and taking a fresh look at who Jesus is. And I want you to keep these verses at the end in mind, why he wrote this book. He wrote this so that you would be convinced of these things. So that you would be convinced that Jesus is your only Savior. That you would be convinced that Jesus is God in human flesh. And as you do that, I pray that you will believe in him. You want to pray for us? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've given us the book of John. A magnificent book that reveals some incredible things about who you are. And we confess to you that we have such a stunted view and a skewed view of who you are when we try to form our view of you on our own. And so we pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would work in us and in these women, shaping their view of you according to the Scriptures. And so correct views that are wrong. Reveal areas of our life where we have decided things about you that are not according to the Scriptures. And through this, I pray that you would grant belief. Belief to those in this room who don't yet believe. And strengthen faith and strengthen belief for those that do. In Jesus' name, amen.